is after him, but it's Fahin who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahin maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahin's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Welcome back to the second episode of the Cheltenham Countdown. And it's the second one. Last week, we, the From the Horses Mouth team, had a look ahead to the bumper. We also looked at the National Chase. But we did so without a certain Ruby Walsh. We did have a new and weekly guest at Rory's Large Game. Delighted to say, Rory, you're back. We haven't managed to get rid of you after one episode. That's good news.
You've not scared me off, no.
Not yet. Well, the Big Bad Wolf is back. Back from his possible holidays. Ruby Walsh, welcome back. How are you?
Hello, PK. How are you?
I'm good. We missed you last weekend. I mean, if you're going to take a weekend off, the Warwick's Classic Chase card and Kempton Sylvian Acland County Chase, you missed a good one.
Yeah, and actually I always looked upon it as the Lanzarote card. Sylvian Acland County Chase is only a new addition to it. It was always the Lanzarote or the Classic Chase, and drab January. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move very swiftly on. And this is all about Cheltenham. But you did miss last week, Ruby. You did miss last week when we looked ahead to the Cheltenham bumper and the National Chase. Quick check, Ruby Walsh, who wins the Cheltenham bumper?
I know it's hard to look beyond the big trees or the three at the top of the market. Anyway, Redemption Day, Facile Vega, American Mike. I don't think any one of them has put a foot wrong. American Mike, we've seen more of him, so he's probably easier to assess. But I think of Willie's two, the one I would think that could be open to a little bit more improvement is possibly Facile Vega. And for that reason and that reason alone, I would be picking him. Redemption Day is a fast horse, but he was probably had more done going to Leopardstown maybe than Facile Vega. So I'll go with Facile Vega purely on what I think he could improve. But look, that's only a thought.
Fair enough. I haven't introduced our third panelist because he's still eating lunch. I'll let him unmute and see if he has finished his lunch. Hang on. Frankie, are you with us?
I'm just eating some snacks, watching Ruby correct all your mistakes, PK. It's very enjoyable. Great.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? For those of you, this is take two of the podcast after Ruby so kindly interrupted me and producer Mark. When I got it wrong, wasn't interrupting. I got it wrong. The National Chase, Ruby, is another one we touched on. Willie's got Statler on baton. Maybe a couple more. Is there anything that at this stage you thought was worth a look?
I wouldn't think either of those, PK, have the profile to win what is the National Hunt Chase now. I think looking at even Willie's two winners of it in recent times, Back in Focus and Radfinden, they both had way more runs than either Statler, on baton, those sort of horses have. The only one of Willie's that possibly has the age and the experience is the other on the ropes. He's the Munster National winner. He ran in the 3 mile at Christmas. He was six behind Fury Road. He's running in the Hennessy. You need that kind of a hardened horse to win this race, in my opinion. And for that reason, it all points to Run Wild Fred. He's 10 runs over fences. He's a second season novice. To me, it points to him. And look, I've no idea. I doubt it's non-runner, no bet. He may well end up in the RSA, what was the old RSA, the Festival Chase now. But to me, he looks the most likely winner of the National Hunt Chase if he lines up.
Rory, it's just a shame Ruby wasn't here last week. You could have been holding hands with your agreed assessment on Run Wild Fred. What a shame.
Oh, there you go. Hopefully we'll agree on something this week.
Oh, we'll find out. Might get to Asian Maze at some stage. But let's look ahead to the Cheltenham Festival and let's look at two races today. We're going to look at the Mare's Hurdle and the Mare's Novice. And I know, Ruby, you've dominated this podcast already, but I kind of have to start with you because of your previous association with this race and a horse whose relation you've already mentioned on this pod. Six wins. Was the sixth the most memorable because of, or the most pressure with Quiviga?
It probably was, PK, because I'd say, thinking back, she had probably was on the wane, and it was her, was it her least impressive performance, or was she a bit lucky the year before? But yeah, she probably wasn't as dominant at the end as she had been in some of her wins earlier in her career, but look, she was a hell of a good race mare. So yeah, and six is, to win six of anything takes a hell of a lot of doing. The Dublin footballers have done it all right in recent times, but I can't think of too many others. How many was Djokovic going for in a row? He won't be getting that either.
Right, he's not getting that.
Or
that's
the next,
for sure.
Or the next couple. But, you know, look, maybe it was, but you always felt going to Cheltenham with Quiviga. You had an ace in your pack and you had an ace for the first day, which was a big help.
Nah, she was all class. Risk of Thunder, they are throwing at you in De La Touche. I think he won seven in a row, did he?
Yeah, he did win seven, yeah.
I mean, that's outrageous. Okay, let's look ahead to this year's event. Tell Me Something Girl is the 9-2 favourite, 6-1 Stormy Ireland, 7-1 Heaven Help Us, 9-1 Royal Kahala, 10-1 Burning Victory, and Mrs. Milner, 12-1 and bigger the rest. We'll go through a few of these. Again, I'm going to stick with you, Ruby. I will bring the other lads in at some stage, but Stormy Ireland is our first port of call, having won the Relkeel hurdle. A couple of questions for you, Ruby. Is it a worry that herself and Heaven Help Us may cut each other's throats? And can you see Danny keeping the ride?
They cut each other's throats. So that's a worry in every race where you have front runners. So that's a common predicament in any race that anybody rides in. Will Danny keep the ride? That I don't know. I mean, he won the Relkeel Honour. He won Honour last year at Punchestown when she beat Manila Melody. And he won on her Fairy House too when she beat French Dynamite. Paul picked the wrong one on the latter two occasions, and he was in Tremor, obviously, when Danny rode Stormy Island in the Relkeel Hurdle. I don't know is the answer. Will Danny keep the ride? That's one of those awkward questions that if I was still first jockey in Willie Mullins's, I wouldn't be asking until I had to. I doubt Paul Townend is going to ask, and I'm certainly not going to ask for him. So if he does or if he doesn't... she has run in the race in the past and probably wasn't good enough, but I think this is a weaker renewal of the race, to be quite honest with you. I don't see a Benny DeJew, a Quiviga, an Apples Jade, Vroom Vroom Mag, any power. There's no horse of that calibre in here. And that's probably why Stormy Island is where she is in the betting, because being honest with you, she basically is a grade two mare, which we saw winning the Relkeel, yet this is a grade one, and there doesn't look to be a grade one horse in it. The best mare in training is running the Champion Hurdle. No one has any issue with that either. So she's a chance, Stormy Island.
Couple of other Willie Mullins horses, just a word on Burning Victory, Galois, and Finest Evermore. Of those three, any you'd fancy?
So Galois was disappointed in Sandown. She's a long way to come forward. And her form ties in with Sky Ace, which probably isn't rock solid. Burning Victory would be the one that would interest me. I thought she was on a cracker behind Classical Dream and Flooring Porter at Leopardstown. They got a fair at Classical Dream, got a head start in Flooring Porter. He got a head start in Burning Victory. She probably didn't quite stay the 3 miles, dropping down a trip would suit her. I think her jumping has improved immensely, even since her run in the Galway Hurdle behind Saldier. And her run then in the handicap behind Commander of Fleet, she jumped better than she ever jumped at Leopardstown when she beat Classical Dream. She was going to be a good second when she ended up winning the Triumph from Goshen Departed. So we know she handles Cheltenham, albeit that was the new course. This is going to be run on the old course, but she would be the one of Willie's that would probably be the most obvious one, Burning Victory. That said, on ratings, where Concertista to come back over hurdles at 153-ish, she'd probably be head and shoulders on top here on ratings.
Okay. You give me another question there, but first thing, has anything come to light on Galois' performance? It was surely too bad to be true.
It was too bad to be true. First run of the season in against fit, hard and fitting horses. Martellus Sky is a really strong stayer, so you know maybe just fitness caught her out, but it was very disappointing.
Okay. All right, Frank. He's finished his lunch. Let's bring you in. Tell Me Something Girl is the 9-2 favourite. I would imagine it. Ruby's already touched on how classy renewal this may or may not be. That might be surprising to a lot of people because she's hardly been a superstar this season.
No, but as Ruby said, like as in, you know, you look at the good mares who've won this with, you know, Benny and Quiviga, Honeysuckle. There's nothing of that caliber here. And like if Concertista was to come back here rather than the mayor's chase, then she'd be clear favourite based on her rating. Everything's kind of rated in the low to mid 140s. It's kind of give you an indication of, like, if anything runs to 150, you think they're going to win or go very close. But Tell Me Something Girl, she's probably favourite on the back of her impressive win, the Mayor's Novice last year. And while her first run back was a little bit disappointing, I thought it was much more like at Leopardstown last time when she was conceding weight to Heaven Help Us and Royal Kahala. She's going to be £5 and £8 better off with them. And yeah, I thought it was a really nice run. And I think it kind of shows that the uncertainty around the market too, that she's favored. Like it was a nice run, but you wouldn't be surprised if something came and upsupped her as favorite either in the interim. It's like there's plenty of moving parts here, I think.
Oh, big time. Rogahala, what about that run at Leopardstown? You know, would you take it on trust? She's currently much bigger price, twice the price. Tell me something, girl.
I think she needs proper soft ground. If it did come up like soft or heavy, you know, the chance of being heavy probably relatively slim, it would bring her into it. What she did show is all her best form had been right-handed at Fairy House, so at least it showed, you know, she could operate to, you know, a decent standard going left-handed. But I do think if you got the normal sort of good to soft ground, probably wouldn't be testing enough for her, and then would leave her very vulnerable.
And one more I want to touch on, Heaven Help Us, who you've tipped on the pod before. She's 7-1/3 favourite after her blitzing performance last year at Cheltenham. I believe she might be running in the Champion Hurdle, the Irish Champion Hurdle at Leopardstown as well. Would you give her a chance?
Well, she hasn't worn the cheek pieces that she wore last year when her form kind of picked up. So I imagine they might be saving them for the Mayor's Hurdle itself. She's won at the track. She won a novice hurdle there over 2 miles back in the day. And obviously she was a wide margin winner of the Carl Cup last year. She was very impressive out in front. It just would be interesting, like, what will happen with Stormy Ireland and her. And they both like to get on with things, and whether they will go a little bit too fast or not. Like, were one of them to miss the race, it would probably give, it would increase the chance of the other horse then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that they might get a little bit of an easier time in front and be able to dictate a bit more. But look, she's a very nice horse. She's, like, there's a number of horses in here have won at Cheltenham, but she's the only one, I think, that won on the old course. So yeah, you definitely give her a chance. Whether she's going to win, I'm not sure.
No, that's a lot of we're not sure yet. We'll find out who's going to win it soon. Rory, this is your turn. Mrs. Milner's one I want to talk about. She definitely stays further. This could it be a pace that might set up for her?
Yeah, the question of whether we're going to get a real burn up here, because you've got two confirmed front runners towards the head of the market. As Ruby touched on earlier, when everyone's aware of that beforehand, you don't tend to get the burn up you're expecting. And for a race, for a pace to collapse and bring stayers into the equation, isn't really about what pace they go from the off. It's about what happens at halfway. You know, so the question is, if two horses who want to lead, in most circumstances with good jockeys, one of those will win the battle for the lead and the other will drop in behind. And then the leader will look to sort of slow things down to some degree at halfway to conserve stamina. Where two jockeys are absolutely determined that they're going to make it a battle for the lead beyond that point, then that can turn into a real burn-up, which brings the stairs into the equation. But for me, trying to identify the pace beforehand to work out whether it's a stayers race is a really dangerous business, because half the time that doesn't work out. And just because they start off at a strong gallop doesn't mean that those who are at the back of the field are going to be suited by that, particularly if it slows at the halfway point. It's where they press on too soon. You almost want to look at the profile of the jockeys in the race and say, what's this lad going to do? You know, you want Tom Scudamore in there to make sure they're pressing on down the hill. And Harry Skelton, perhaps. So that's the kind of thing you want to look at, really. And I think it's very, very hard from an anti-post point of view to identify that's going to happen. In terms of Mrs. Milner, I don't think she's a true three-miler for all she won the pretemps last year. That was a bit of a sprint finish. The horses who were leading them into the straight that day were real plodders. And she's, although she was hampered when the initial leader sort of dropped back through the field, it was a turn of foot that won her that race. She travelled really strongly into it and she put it to bed. Jump in the last, and she was then helped by a loose horse to keep her going to the line. Her other runs at 3 miles, she hasn't looked a thorough stayer. She's travelled well, and she hasn't quite got home. Much to my chagrin, because I've backed her a couple of times when she's been turned over off lesser marks than she won at Cheltenham off. So she will be suited by a shorter trip. Whether, you know, it's not quite 2.5 on the old course, and it does tend to test speed a lot more than the similar trip on the new course would do. So if this was on the new course, it would suit 2.5 would suit her fine, with a sort of extended 2.3 on the old course on the first day is more of a question mark.
Okay, question marks aplenty. It sounds like so far we haven't got a strong opinion yet. And as ever, has the theme of this podcast in terms of Cheltenham Countdown is we go through the Irish and then we pick out a couple of English horses. Again, that's going to be the case here. Are there any across the water, as we sit, that have caught your eye yet, Rory?
Yeah, there's nothing lurking there, nothing particularly dark, but Indefatigable was fourth in the race last year. She's got plenty of Cheltenham form. She ran an unusually moody race in the long distance hurdle at Newbury behind Mrs. Milner two starts ago. She didn't want to line up that day. She didn't want to take off. She was never in contention. But normally she's very reliable and she bounced back to form when she was just beaten by Martello Sky. And that pair are worth considering. That was a pretty strong handicap. Indefatigable was given £5 to Martello Sky that day and was beaten in the night. Martello Sky has gone on to win at Sandown in that listed race since. That wasn't a particularly strong contest because Gold Wales bombed out. And not many of them were particularly happy on the really bad ground at Sandown either, including Martello Sky. So she probably didn't have to repeat her handicap form to win that. In saying that, you know, she's a mid-140s horse. Indefatigable was a mid-140s horse and she was on the heels of the leaders here last year. They're about sort of 16s and 20s. You know, if you're looking for an each way punt in the race, you could do worse than those. But you get the impression there's going to be something that's going to beat them in the end. You're playing for places if you're backing either of the pair of them. But Martello Sky's got a tremendous record for a mare who doesn't get any column inches at all. And she's won 8 from 12 now. Never runs a bad race, as game as they come. Again, with the pair of them, they would also want it to be a reasonable test of stamina at that trip as well. The pair of them stay a little bit further than that.
All right, Ruby, I know Willie Mullins is a regular listener to the podcast, and I'm sure he will have contacted you after he's listened to the first 20 minutes and said, geez, Ruby, I'm after listening to the podcast there. We should definitely run Concertista in the mares because she's going to win because the lads don't fancy anything. So there you go.
Yeah, I'd say he will. I'll remind him of that. I would be surprised were he to do that, PK. I think when Willie Mullins looks at this race, he will think between Burnin Victory, Stormy Island, and if he can get Galois back to her best, that he has three good chances in an open race. And I wouldn't discount the possibility of him even running Echoes and Rain. He does tend to keep horses where their gender is. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he loads this up, but I can't see Concertista being one of them. And to be honest, Richard, the more I look at Burnin Victory, I don't think we have seen the best of her over hurdles yet. She gave Buzz £2 in the Cesaro, which Buzz is a 155 rated hurdler. There wasn't that much between them at the line. I think on her mark, she's officially 143 in Ireland. She could be a bit higher in the UK, but I think she's the one filly that could run to that figure that Frank has mentioned of 150 to win this race. And at 10 to 1 each way, she'd be my pick.
Lovely. Ruby goes off with Burnin Victory. Frank Hickey, your selection at this stage?
I just wanted to ask Ruby, finest evermore.
She's another one. I thought she ran really well at Leopardstown, Frank. You're right. She stayed on well. She hadn't run in a long time. She's by 8. She's sure to stay. She hadn't run in over 12 months when she chased home Royal Cahala and was doing all her best work in the latter part of that race. Runs in the same colours as Heaven Help Us. And yeah, she could be. No, I wouldn't put you off, Frank. No way.
Yeah, no, I just, one of the ones that was, I have a shortlist of three. She's one of them. Just again, as you said, she was off for a long time, ran well. I thought she'd really stay on well. Like, you go back to when she won her novice hurdle at the Stole in September 2020. She won with 13 lengths from the now 131 rated Linwood Gold, and the 134 rated St. Daru were back in third. And Jackson's Gold was well beaten, and that's rated 138. So she was very useful, and like, she was 8-13 to win a listed race that December then, and she finished third behind Sky Ace, and we didn't see her since. I don't know, Ruby, you might be able to tell, did she get injured in the race?
She did get injured, yeah, in the race, and she was off for a long time, and I'd have no doubt she would have improved for a race in Leopardstown, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so she's very interesting. I'd be with Ruby and Burnin Victory. She jumped much better at Leopardstown and travelled really well into it. She was kind of the only one to come from, say, the pack that kind of got into it in any little bit, albeit she was beaten a long way. And, you know, what she did in Cesaro, which, you know, it shows the class and the engine she has. So she's probably the one that's more solid. And the other one I would give a mention to that's a fair price as well is Queen's Brook. Third a champion bumper behind Fernie Hollow and Appreciate It. Bit disappointing last season over hurdles. Like, she just won on debut at Fairhouse, went a 2-7 favourite. And while you were disappointed a little bit at the time, the second's now rated 139 and the third's rated 132. So it wasn't that bad an effort. She was second to Sky Ace, beating a head in a grade 3 at Down Royal over 2 miles. That form, you know, looks okay now after Sky Ace winning a grade 1. She did finish last season with a poor effort behind concertista. A little bit underwhelming on her reappearance at Wexford, but the last day when she beat Seal Dinesh and Sky Ace of Fairhouse, thought was much more like it. She only had 7 career starts. And she's one I wouldn't give up on her either. Like, she has a bit of back class, and yeah, the prices, she's interesting. So like my kind of short list would be Burning Victory, Queens, Broken Finest, Evermore. They'd be the three I'd be looking for.
Nicely summarized. And 10-1 Burning Victory, Finest Evermore is 20-1, and Queensbrook 16-1 at the time recording. Right, Rory, couple of votes for Burning Victory. Where are you going?
Burning Victory would be high on my shortlist as well, according to the prices. I think the favourite's Skinny Enough for me. I'd agree with comments about Royal Kahala that she's, I'd happily back her on soft ground elsewhere. I think she might just be the best in the division, given to, you know, maybe switch to fences next season as well. I think she's got more long-term potential as well, but I wouldn't greatly fancy her in the conditions. So Burning Victory's high on the shortlist. I would... One I didn't mention from the UK, I'm going to touch on in the Mare's Novice. I might throw in there as well. L.A. Bell, mm-hmm. who's 33, is in the list. Now, you'd have thought she's more likely to run in the Novice contest, but Dan Skelton's got 2 in there who look, you know, high class mares, and he might be tempted to switch one of them here. L.A. Bell's in the Betfair Hurdle next month. I don't know whether Dan intends to run her there, but she kind of looked like he was keeping half an eye on her handicap mark on her previous run. So she'd be interesting if she was given a chance. And Echoes and Rain, Ruby mentioned briefly, you know, she's 33. She's a big price for a mare. He's not going to be running in the Champion Hurdle, I wouldn't have thought now. And if Willie sends her elsewhere, this must be a potential target for her. So 33 is an overreaction to the fact that she hasn't quite come up to scratch in the open division.
Well, speaking of open, it certainly is. Big prices there tipped up by the lads, and I think we can put the old Echoes and Rain Champion Hurdle project in the bin, I'm afraid, Frank. I'm sorry. It's RIP to that particular project?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Okay. County Hurdle maybe might be a different story.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, 2.5 Ruby for Echoes and Rain. Would that be the worry?
Oh, I thought she might want a bit further, actually, after really? The last day. So, okay. Yeah, look, you never know.
Okay. See. We shall see indeed. What we'll do is we'll take a very,
which
very
would first. Add up to the County Hurdle as well. 2 miles, 1 furlong on the new course. We play a good bit stiffer than the inside track over 2 miles in Leopardstown. So, you know, my preference would be the County as well for her, but just never know what the man is training. Her rating wouldn't put her out of this race.
No. Never know what the man is training. My God, that poor racing secretary you have. Right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back for more Mayor's Fun. This time the Mayor's Novice.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
A very, very important message. Now, let's move on to the Mayor's Novice Hurdle after a couple of questions from our loyal dedicated listeners. Right, Barry Cole has asked one. Guys, you covered the Champion Bumper last week. Given that we generally have to wait so long to see a horse running in a proper open company, should there be restrictions on horses running in the Champion Bumper going forward, i.e. not allowed to run a point-to-point or only eligible for a 4- and 5-year-old race? It just seems we have to wait so long to see some really good horses run in proper open company. Oh, that's quite the question, Barry. Ruby, I know, is going to say no, so I'm going to go to Rory.
Yeah, listen, my gut feeling is to say no to that as well. But I think it's a genuinely interesting question. It does, it, you know, it, it's we do tend to now have potential top class hurdlers or chasers having 2 full seasons when they're not doing what most of the general public want to see them doing, which is jumping. So you have a season in points, which for most people you don't get to see them in the flesh. Obviously, you know, for the lucky few who view the point to points on a regular basis, that's terrific. But for most people, most stay at home punters, they don't see the points. They just see the form and they see the prices they fetch at the sales. And then, you know, most of us aren't dyed in the wool fans of bumpers either. So we want to see good horses going over hurdles, going over fences. And yeah, it means that you feel like you're twiddling your thumbs for 2 seasons. So I can see where Barry's coming from with the question. I think it's difficult to make that kind of restriction. And I think bumpers fundamentally end up working out very well for X point-to-point horses anyway. And I think, again, I'm not a mad fan of bumpers for 4-year-olds either, really. Obviously, it's the second half of the year for horses are going to be 5. in the new year. But fundamentally, yeah, you expect, you know that the 5 and 6 year olds are going to be the better performers in that division generally. So getting rid of the older crop is not going to be popular. But again, if you feel strongly about this and you want it to work, that's the kind of draconian measure you want to take, really, isn't it? So I appreciate the question. I think it's a you know, it's a question that not many people are going to look at favorably, but I think it's a good point from a race fan.
Yeah. Ruby, the difference between bumpers and the perception of them in the UK and Ireland, you've ridden in both. It does seem like across the water, they just, but it seems over here, they're huge deal. Do you know that?
They would have been, they are, and they're an introductory step into racing. But if you go back, PK, before point-to-pointing became as strong as it is now, so you go back to the 80s, it was the Irish bumper horses that were sold for the big money. Mm. And then that became, in the late 2000s, point-to-point horses, or mid-2000s, point-to-point horses. So, yeah, point-to-point, and I suppose, as a sales field, has usurped what used to be bumpers. I can remember Danny Harold and horses like that being sold out of bumpers, having won 2 point-to-points and 2 bumpers being sold to go to the UK from my dad's yard. So, and then Willie started that way. Lots of people, that's where a lot of horses were bought from the bumper field, are now bought from the point-to-point field. So one has usurped the other, but that's a much bigger thing, because in the 80s, you had the small to medium-sized trainer buying those store horses, and that's where they ran them. Maybe in the point-to-point, definitely in the bumper. Then you created a whole new cycle of purchasers at the sales, buying horses, sold, you go point-to-point, and they're point-to-pointed and sold. So it's changed a little bit there, but you could go on for that one for about 4 hours if you so wished. To answer Barry's question, I think even when you look at this year's bumper, now we don't have the entries, we have betting as such, provisional betting. So you have Time for a Tune as a 6-year-old, Champ Kylie is a 6-year-old who's in the betting, and I thought there was one more. Oh, Embassy Gardens. There's only 3 6-year-olds amongst the 25 or 6 that are listed in the betting anyway. The rest are 4 and 5-year-olds. So what way do you look at it? It's a bit like, are you pro playing minors in open football or under 18s in open soccer matches? It depends. It suits some, it doesn't suit others. And that's the whole idea. You buy a jump horse for longevity. It's not like a flat horse. You buy it for a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, possibly a 4-year-old career, and then it's gone out the other end. Whereas in jump racing, you want to have that horse for 6-7 years. So a year bumper and a year novice chasing, then you open chasing or novice chasing. So yeah, it does take time to get to where you want them to be, but you have to give them the right introduction to maximise their potential out the other end. Mm. That's the idea, maximising their potential.
We'll ask Patrick Mullins, will we? See what he says. Get rid of bumpers. Get rid of bumpers. Aaron Murphy asks, lads, potentially 5 previous Cheltenham winners lining up at the Mayor's Hurdle. Tell me something, girls, Stormy Ireland, Heaven Help Us, Burning Victory, Mrs. Milner. How big an advantage would they have over the rest of the field? I'll have to go to you, Ruby, for that one.
None.
Really?
From a betting point of view, you know that they will handle the track, but winning at the Cheltenham Festival, I would say you don't have any advantage. I don't know. Do horses get used to a track? Maybe they do in the all-weather when they've had 40 runs. I don't see it. Other than you knowing that this horse will handle the track, I don't see it as an advantage.
So the whole rigmarole, well, I suppose the festival last year was a bit strange, wasn't it? Because there was nobody there. And I know people have said that John Bond might struggle when he sees a proper crowd for the first time. But even all that goes into it, you know.
You were talking now about novice hurdles. We were talking about the mayor's hurdle here.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are all older mares, where somewhere along the way have either ran at Punchestown or at Aintree, at the Dublin Racing Festival. They would have encountered people and are older, more experienced horses. Perhaps maybe an LA Belle, but she did run at a Cheltenham Festival when there was a crowd there for the bumper, didn't she? Was she 4th in that bumper in 2020 or 5th? I think she was.
She was 3rd.
She was 3rd. So, no, not in that race. Maybe in a novice hurdle, but you say the crowd, it's even when they get below to the start in the 2-mile races, PK, and the helicopters are landing behind the hedge that nobody can see, but you can hear them and they're revving up and you can't hear the starter. I think if a horse is flighty, it'll always be flighty. Undersoul wasn't any easier to get to the start when he won the Reiner 3 years after he ran in the Arkle. That was just his mentality. He was always going to be that way. So, no, I don't see an advantage or a disadvantage other than the fact before you have a bet or before you decide what you want to ride, you know if they can handle it or not.
Mm. Remember, if you'd like to ask your question to Ruby, Rory, or Frank, doesn't ask me on the script for some reason, just email fthm@paddypower.com and we'll post it to the lads and they will answer your question. Next week, we're talking about the novice hurdles. Remember, the open novice hurdles, if there's such a thing, the non-mayors ones. Right, the mayor's novice hurdle is next. We go back to you, Ruby, because it does look potentially Willie's to lose. I'll just run through the betting before we start. Allegory Devassi, 6-1 favourite, 7-1 Dino Blue, 8-1 LA Bell and Grand G and Brandy Love and Statuaire, 10-1 Me Too Please, 12-1 Glens of Antrim and Impervious, and 14-1 A Big at the Rest. So quite a few names from the Willie Mullins yard there, Ruby. Allegory Devassi, this is the accountant's horse, isn't it? This is the one where you spotted. Was this the one where you spotted the handy spot for, or was that different? Mayor.
Oh, she just had a rating in France. That was her, yeah. And she beat Monish de Armouy at Ferry House and beat her impressively. She actually did look like a mare that's going to be a hell of a chaser, the way she jumped. She jumped brilliantly at Ferry House when she beat Monish de Armouy. Obviously, Dino Blue won at Clonmel when she beat La Prima Donna. La Prima Donna has a hell of a pedigree. She's out of the mare Philip Carberry won all the Grand Steep de Paris on, Princess d'Anjou. You know, that's pretty strong form. It might be strong form. Brandy Love, I thought she was very good at Nace when she beat Limerick Lace. She'd been third to Grand G in a bumper at the Dublin Racing Festival last year. Didn't run after that. Beat Presenting New York at Ferry House first time up. She's a pretty good mare who's guaranteed to stay. New course will suit her well. Grand G, sharp mare, probably got involved a bit soon at Leopardstown at Christmas when she was fourth behind Mighty Potter. She moved up with a decisive move, going to the second last into the home straight, but probably played her hand a bit soon. And Statuaire really surprised me at Ferry House when she beat my mate Mozzie. I didn't think she could do that, even off her rate at the time, but she did. Danny gave her a brilliant ride. That's rock solid form, I think, beating my mate Mozzie. You have Glens of Antrim, who eventually got off the mark on the seventh attempt, I think it was, at Limerick at Christmas and bolted in. So she'd have to be a runner. Look, plenty of strong ones. Is there a Limini, a Let's Dance, a Larina? I don't think one sticks out over the other right now. And I'm glad I'm not having to pick. Having said that, Dino Blue's in JP's colour, so Mark will write her. But it'd be Allegory, Devassi, Brandy Love, Grand G, Statuaire. I'd love to be getting another look at them if I was Paul Townend before I'd had to put my hand up and pick one of them.
Speaking of, another look at them. The Solarina Hurdle at Ferry House, a race that Willie Mullins has done well in. Do you reckon we'll see a few of those in that, potentially?
I'm just thinking in the back of my head here, I don't think too many of his previous winners went there with only one run. Lorraine had had a couple. Limini had a couple. Let's Dance was a second season novice, having been placed in the Triumph the year before. What else won it? Well, having said that, of course, Concertista got beat a short head, having never run. So by Eglantine Desai.
The 66-1 poke, yeah.
Eglantine Desai came and chinned her. And maybe that's the reason she got beaten, because she hadn't had a run. But look, I think Allegory really impressed me at Ferry House. I love the way she jumped. But Brandy Love, I think possibly one or other of those. And who knows what Dino Blue could be. She's a Dr. Dino, like Sharja. He seems to get a lot of good jump horses, Dr. Dino.
Okay, right. Rory, you've obviously got your own opinion. You've just heard Ruby go through a lot of the Willie Mullins horses. It does seem to be Willie Mullins who's got a stranglehold on this.
It does look like it, yes. There are a lot of promising mares in there. The one who impressed me most to the eye was Dino Blue, or Dino Blue. I loved the way she did it on her debut for the yard. Her jumping was superb. She looked really well balanced. She looked to have a perfect temperament the way she went around. She's thoroughly professional. You'd like to think she'll improve a fair bit from that anyway. But she was she looked well on her way to becoming a high class race mare over hurdles. So I did like her. Allegory Devassi was in a race where it was difficult for her to catch the eye quite so much, but she was impressive in the end. She was held up there and she didn't show herself off as much, but as Ruby said, her jumping was very good. And when she was asked to go on, she wasn't asked much of a question and she put distance between herself and the others very easily. On the figures, she's probably the weakest of them. But that's just a factor of coming through the race that she did. But there looked to be an awful lot left in the tank. Whereas the likes of, Grand G and Statuaire, what you've seen of them so far is closer to what the finished article is going to be. With them, particularly Statuaire, I mean, she made her hurdles debut back in 2018, didn't she? Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's had a couple of long layoffs, but she's and obviously she's come through the grade one route. So we pretty much know what she is at this stage, and the others are behind her, but have got a lot of improvement in them. So I would just go on the impression they've made on me. I would just go Dino Blue, but I would have a lot of respect for both Brandy Love, who's got a lot of scope jumping wise. She was maybe coming out of her rider's hands a little bit when she won last time out, but she did it very easily indeed and showed a good turn of foot at the end of it. I'd certainly respect her. I'd respect Allegory Devassi. Connection seemed very bullish about her. I ran into Joe Chambers in the pub the other day and he was absolutely adamant that she would win, but that's not the way I punt as a rule. So yeah, at this stage, Dino Blue is the one I like best, but I'm certainly inclined to have another look at the likes of Brandy Love and Allegory Devassi.
That's not the way you punt as a rule when Joe Chambers gives you a tip.
not specifically Joe Chambers, but when, you know, when I met a guy a few years ago who had whose dad owned a bumper winner with Willie, and I was convinced by a friend this is the greatest line you'll ever get to the yard. No one knows what Willie's best bumper horse is, but he does, because Willie said Hayes is the best bumper horse and you've got to back it anti-post. So I had a very big anti-post bet on this horse. I won't even mention its name now. I finished about 10th and I don't think I won a race after that either. So you learn to trust your own judgment a bit better.
For those who don't know, Joe Chambers, the racing manager for Rich Ritchie. Unless I've got that wrong. Pretty sure that's
correct. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure to give a bit of context there. Right. Rory, you touched on LA Belle for the mares, so I'm going to assume that should she run here, you'd be quite interested.
Yeah, she's very interesting on paper. She's already run to a high enough level to be competitive here. And she's done so despite giving the impression that, you know, she could have done better in several of her runs. She was third in the champion bumper last year. Now, a lot of people thought that the runner-up should have won and was given too much to do. Well, the runner-up was third off the home bend. She was ninth, and she's passed a load of horses to finish third. She was given a lot to do. She went to Aintree again behind Arthur Moore's filly, and again she came from a long way back to grab second. She gave the impression she'd have been closer on both of those occasions if she was asked to make a move slightly earlier. But what she does have, of course, is that she's got that run style. She can be held up in the field, and she will settle very well. She's impressed me over hurdles so far. She needed her first run. She turned the tables on a couple of fillies who beat her first time when she won at Newbury. And then she finished behind John Bond last time out. Now, again, she was held up at the back of the field in a race that, well, it took them about 30 seconds to cross the start line that day. They went very slowly. And to give John Bond about 10 lengths and hope to beat him in a sprint is asking an awful lot. But she wasn't at all knocked about. She should have finished third that day. Harry Skelton only really got serious in the last 100 yards with her. I think if his life had depended on it, he definitely would have finished third. She might go for the Betfair hurdle. She's in the entries for that. And I kind of thought the way she was ridden last time was almost with half an eye on seeing what the handicapper would do. And if she goes there, then how she performs there might define what race she goes for at the festival. But, you know, she's a listed winner with Marcello Sky behind her at Cheltenham last season. Slightly lucky to be a listed winner because she was caught on the line. That was a slightly controversial finish where it was given as a dead heat. She's probably done a short head that day. And she's run, you know, to have run in the frame at both Cheltenham and Aintree is a very good performance. And obviously it was a champion bumpers run in Cheltenham. She wasn't just running against the fillies. So she's got a lot in her favour. She's already tough. She's got plenty of experience and she will improve further. So you've got to throw her into the mix.
Interesting. She's 14-1 for the Betfair, by the way, just in case you're wondering. LA Belle as well has an entry. Right, Frank, let's bring you back in. Rory touched on the Arthur Moore train winner, the Aintree Mare's Bumper. That was Me Too Please. It'd be nice to see Arthur Moore have a winner at Cheltenham Festival again, wouldn't it?
It would. I'd be worried, though, that we haven't seen her since she ran in the flat in the car in August. What are we, 8 weeks to the festival? It must be looking very unlikely that she's going to get back. Like, she'd want to be running in the next couple of weeks, wouldn't she? So I'd be saying she's almost certainly going to miss the festival. But yeah, she's definitely a horse with plenty of ability.
She sure is. What about Party Central and Impervious? A couple of other contenders, potentially?
Yeah, Impervious. One of her first three starts over hurdles. look, she stays a bit further in a 2-mile 1. So 2-mile 1 on the new course will suit. She won in Cork over 2-mile 3, followed up in the Stole over 2.5, where she beat the 131 rated Batty William Boy. She won a grade 3 up and down Royal, where Party Central went off a short price 5. I think Party Central had an excuse. Like, if you go back and watch it, she's nearly travelled the best to the second last. It looks like she's kind of jumped into the back of Glan, and Davey's just kind of basically eased off her nearly straight away. So I'd put a line through that run for Party Central. But Impervious gone off 3-1 in the Royal Bond, a grade 1 against the Geldings. Look, she was found out, but she wasn't disgraced either. She was beaten 6 lengths in 5th, albeit she would have grown to make up with Statue Air, who won the race. The 3rd and 4th in the Royal Bond were 1st and 3rd in the grade 1 at Leopardstown at Christmas. So, you know, the form has been, you're frank to a degree. We haven't seen her since, but she definitely has potential. Party Central's one I kind of like. She was touched off by Grangy in the grade 2 mares bumper at the Dublin Racing Festival last year. And she followed that by winning a list at Bumper at Fairy House. She won her hurdles debut over 2.5 at Listowel. But I think she just about seems to get that sort of trip. Like, she travels and just scrambles home. So again, I think she's one that would be suited by a stamina test at 2-mile 1. As I said, I think she had an excuse up and down Royal. She was beaten. She bounced back, won a listed mare's hurdle at Punchtown last month over 2-mile 3. Again, travelled like much the best, cleared away. And then, I don't know, she idled up the straight a little bit and was at Humble Glory, nearly ran her down, but she hung on. As I said, I think the trip's really going to suit. And Parker Central's one of the few, maybe with a couple of Skentle horses, non-wheelie horses that you could give a chance to.
Between two trainers, it seems. Right, I think we've covered most. It was Nurse Susan, as mentioned there, for Dan Skelton as well. But I think we've covered most. Could we get selections, unless anyone wants to flag something up at a price, potentially?
Just give a minute. Like, I've no idea what the stories are, but I think I had her penciled in to win the Mayor's Novice 2 or 3 years ago. But Gypsy Island.
She comes.
Look, you'd have to give her a mention. She did run over hurdles at least, albeit last May at Tipperary. I think at the time, like when you go back, absolutely amazing in bumpers. She got beaten a maiden hurl at Navan, and I remember thinking she was a good thing and having a good bet in her and discussed it that she got beaten. She was given an awful lot to do that day, but the horse that beat her was Put the Kettle On. So in hindsight, it was a massive task to give Put the Kettle On about 20 lengths and try to run her down at Navan. Look, she's had her issues. She won at Tipperary as a 1-5 shot, underwhelming performance at the time. But again, the horse that was second, Annie G, has come out. And I think she won a listed hurdle at Galway, did she? So she's pretty useful herself. So look, she's 8 now. You don't know what way the ability is, but like, if she were ever to rediscover that bumper form, she's very interesting. And I'll give it small mention as well. I think this is probably more of a handicap one, but Glen's of Antrim ran okay in the race last year when 6th. Yeah, she'd have a squeak if she ended up here, but I'd be surprised if she didn't go for something like the Carl Cup.
20-1 Gypsy Island. Obviously, if you start to see a few bets come through for her, Frank, I'm pretty sure you get pretty excited, because
it'd be hard to back her now. Like, you know, yeah. like if she went straight to Cheltenham, you couldn't back her. But
no. Yeah. Be great to see her again. She looks such a mare of wonderful promise. Okay, lads, it's decision time. Ruby, I got the feeling you were kind of heading towards Brandy Love. Glass of Brandy.
I don't have a strong opinion, PK. I think Willie has a handful of really good mares here, but I'd want to see them again. I'd prefer to be taking a shorter price with any of these, having watched them once more, than be trying to have a bet now.
Ruby gets that luxury, Rory. You don't.
Yeah, I would like that luxury as well, but I will say that Dino Blue is the one who's impressed me most thus far. Obviously, the LA Bell would be interesting. I'd be more interested in LA Bell if they rolled the big dice, as it were. And I should mention that Dan Skelton's also got a mare called West Balboa, who's not in your betting. I suspect she's an unlikely runner in this race. She would probably be one for further. She was second in the Challow last time out. She would be interesting if they did take this step, but I suspect this is not the race for her, and Dan isn't hell bent on running them at Cheltenham if it's not the right race for them. But yeah, Dino Blue, the only other thing I say about her is she won on heavy ground, but a lot of the sire stock want good ground, so she might be even better if she gets good ground at Cheltenham in March. So she's quite an exciting prospect, I think.
That is a relatively frightening prospect. She was a mare who was heavily backed, for those of you who remember. Frank, you remember when the other one in the Ken Alexander colours was made favourite by Paddy Power? Dino Blue smashed him 7-2 at even money. Did you trade that?
No, I was off. I was off for the week.
Go bad, Frank. Go bad, Frank.
Wouldn't have happened if Frank wasn't.
Never happens in my watch.
Go on, give us your winner of the Mayor's Novice, Frank.
I actually forgot to mention one. I was going down through my notes here and it was at the bottom. Look, again, I don't know what the target is, but Bride Till for Gavin Cromwell. Look, she'd have an unusual profile now to win a race at Cheltenham, you know, a novice race. She's had 12 starts over hurdles since her debut just over a year ago. She started off in handicaps off a mark of 100 in March, but her win the last day at Leopardstown at Christmas in the handicap was pretty impressive. She absolutely bolted in off a mark of 121. Like, she was eased up and she won by 7.5 lengths, and the right horses were in behind her that day, you would say, too, to kind of give the form a real solid look. As I said, not read the profile you would look for, but at the same, when you look at what Gavin did with Flooring Porter, who was winning, you know, relatively low grade handicaps earlier in the season and then goes on and wins the Stayers Hurdle, you couldn't put a line through her either. Whether she'll go for the Ladbroke Handicap Hurdle at the Dublin Racing Festival next, I'm not sure, but you definitely couldn't write her off either on the back of that performance, even though it kind of has come out of a little bit of nowhere, but she just could be improving fast. At the moment, if you're looking, it wouldn't be a race I'd be mad to get stuck into now, but I think if you're looking at it from a betting point of view, I take what the lads are saying, like Brandy Love, Allegory Devassi, Dino Blue, they're all full of potential, but Statuaire's, you know, achieved the most so far, like beating the geldings in the grade one. Look, whether she'd uphold that form, I'm not sure. She might go for the grade one at the Dublin Racing Festival, but if she turned up here, she'd have a penalty. But at the prices, I think she 8 or 10 to 1, she probably deserves to be favored at this stage, I would say, albeit the others maybe have a little bit more potential. And the other one would be Party Central, definitely. I wouldn't be giving up on her at all. I really like her. Like, if I was having a bet, I'd probably take a chance in Party Central.
Okay, lovely. That's pretty much it, folks. I've got one more question. It's for Ruby. It's a good one. Stephen Salmon. He says, Ruby, I'm presuming you're allowed the odd bet. Now, he said odd. I didn't doctor this. The odd bet nowadays. Have you backed anything for Cheltenham that you're confident as we speak? Actually, no. I'm gonna edit that question. Have you backed anything for Cheltenham? I don't care whether you're confident or not. I want to know if you've had a bet.
Backed anything for Cheltenham? Yeah, I did. I had an each-way bet on Albion Fodder for the Gold Cup. Mm-hmm. After Christmas, when I'd watched the King George and the Savills, I just thought it was a wide open contest and he was overpriced. But that is it. And the sum total of my gambling will usually be lucky 15s and doubles and trebles, etc. I guess I'm like every other person looking for that life changing moment.
Did you win the lot on Saturday?
Unfortunately, I haven't been in Mayo in quite a while, PK.
Oh, was it one of Mayo, was it?
It's
nice for them to win something, isn't it? well, at least they get something. They really have to win them.
It was
there.
A mighty couple of days for Mayo, didn't that? Oisín Mullen decided not to go to Australia as well. Big news for them, yeah. So.
I tell you, I'm not sure which was a bigger deal. Probably Oisín Mullen news rather.
This one
is going to be lost, I think, in our listeners across the water. But anyway, Ruby's backed Albion Fodder. I remember we were talking on the Christmas pod, one of the Christmas pods, and you said each way for the Gold Cup was 16-1. I thought, right, I'll make a note of that. And I looked at Paddy Power the next day, and the 16s was gone, Frank Hickey. Is that Orr Walsh monitored customer? Does he have that chunky bet?
No, but like he was on... you know, the road to Cheltenham, putting it up too. So people listen to Ruby and they follow him in.
I'm part of the road to Cheltenham. It's all the Cheltenham countdown.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's probably what inspired the move. But I don't know.
Now, you can also listen to Road to Cheltenham because we actually sponsor that as well. It's on Racing TV, but don't worry. You're allowed to listen to that one as well. Lydia Hislop is an average host and I'm amazing. That's definitely, I've got that one or the other way around. Yeah. Right. We have got, that's it, folks. Thank you very much. I'm just going to run through some of the selections for you. Just a reminder, in the Mayor's Hurdle, the horses mentioned Burning Victory got a good shout by a few of you. LA Bell, obviously a flyer if she was to go for this race. Echoes and Rain, watch out for her. First Evermore and Queen's Brook, and then the Mayor's Novice, Dino Blue, West Balboa, if she goes for it, Statuaire and Party Central. Wasn't there a Statuaire at the Paul Nicholls train? Did it win the Fred Winter? Was that
Sanctuary.
Sanctuary. Close enough.
Right. Yeah, it was actually.
Bolted up.
Too. Oh, yeah. Didn't win much after, but geez, that was one of your easiest wins ever.
Got some right that day, he did.
But he had about 40 pounds in hand.
I wouldn't have been that harsh on him. Didn't he? Look, he got well beaten. But him who gave was relatively short in the market against Sprinter one day in Sandown.
Yeah, they were very close together, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a Tingle Creek.
Yeah.
I remember standing at the pond fence thinking, whatever chance he has of beating Sprinter Sacra, we have to jump this pond fence because Sanctuary was a really good jumper. Now, unfortunately, he did get fatally injured in a fall a couple of years later, but standing there thinking, to have this fence in. And, Clark of the course was there, and I said, oh, yeah, can see it, no problem. See it, definitely jump it. Lined up, off he went. Sprinter Sacra went by me onto the middle railway fence, and we turned to the pond fence, and you can see nothing. And I'm thinking, what did I make them put this fence in for?
You got over it, though.
I got over it, yeah.
Oh, you got over it. And I'm sure you picked up a nice little bit of place money. Thanks very much, gentlemen.
He was second in the end, was he?
Was enough?
No, I think he faded to be fourth, I think.
Oh, disaster. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Rory. Thank you, Ruby. We'll be back next week. We'll be looking at the three novice hurdles. But we'll also be back this weekend with another weekend tipping show, looking ahead to Lingfield. Of course, their big million meeting. We've also got good quality Irish action as well. And a pretty decent, fingers crossed, everything crossed, a pretty decent 2 mile chase at Ascot. Ruby Walsh, you're with us. Energamine goes, yeah? He goes. He goes to Ascot, Ruby.
I haven't heard anything in the different PK.
Okay. Well, then let's assume he's there. Rory, thank you. Frank, thank you. Ruby, thank you. Yep. We'll be back at the weekend on Friday at the very latest. Keep an eye out for the Tipping Pod.